Let me have you turn tonight, first of all, to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. I want to talk tonight about doubting God. You ever have problems with doubts? Doubts will come a lot of times in the midst of struggles, trials of our faith, which we should be thankful for, because the trials of our faith work patience, and patience, when it hath its perfect work, will make us perfect and entire, and not lacking anything in our spiritual walk or growth. So it helps us to grow up. But sometimes in the midst of trials, our faith gets weak, and we wonder about things. Other times, it's just promises. It's just the precious promises of the Word. You wonder if it's going to happen for me. There are a lot of precious promises in the Word. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He shall direct. It's conditional, isn't it? What's the condition? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. So it's conditional. Some of the promises of the Word are conditional. We need to do this if we want this to happen. Quite a few of them. Others are unconditional promises. Acts 16:31 says, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." A conditional promise. What's the condition? Believe. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." And we can too. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Do you believe that? "But my God shall supply all your needs. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." I would love to be near a graveyard at the rapture. Just so I see everything. I don't want to miss anything. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I'll never leave you. "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Promise. Conditional promise. If we confess, He'll forgive. So we have conditional and unconditional promises. Can you think of another that you'd like to share? Promise of the Lord that you have and hold dear. I didn't give you much time to think about that. Anyone?
"Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee.
Strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Psalm 41:10. Fear, I like that verse because of the fear. Fear not.
"And if thy works to the Lord, my plan shall be established."
Okay. I don't know the reference to that. Another
promise? "The devil, and he will flee from thee."
Yeah. Resist. We have a lot of promises in the Word. Somebody said there are thousands there. Well, I haven't found thousands that are really directed at us. There are a lot of promises. I would be thrilled to death to have a list of 100 of them. 100 precious promises. You could find 100, probably a couple hundred, pretty easily. Just read through the Bible, and when you come to one, jot it down. I started a list of them not long ago. And I started to put in my Bible a P beside, a promise is here, a promise. But maybe you're among those who doubt God pertaining to some promise. It's at least at times. It's not unusual for a Christian to doubt God. You know, our faith needs to grow, all of us. We're not there yet. We haven't arrived. And the Lord's in the process of growing our faith and making us more like Christ. And so doubting is something that we all will have trouble with at times. A man by the name of Norman Shirk wrote this poem. I don't particularly like his poetry, but do you know Norman Shirk?
I know a Norman
Shirk. 1981, Dallas Seminary. Could be the same fellow. Well, Tom knows him. If you don't like this, you talk to Tom, okay? Here it is. Let me meet you, Lord, on the mountain just once. You won't have to burn a whole bush, just a few smoking branches, and I would surely be your Moses. Let me meet you on the water, Lord, just once. I wouldn't have to be on White Rock Lake, just a puddle after an annual Dallas rain, and I would surely be your Peter. Let me meet you, Lord, on the road, just once. You wouldn't have to blind me in Central Expressway, just a few bright lights on the way to the chapel, and I would surely be your Paul. Let me meet you, Lord, just once, anywhere, anytime. Just meeting you in the Word is so hard sometimes. Must I always be your Thomas? Interesting, isn't it? Do you ever wish the Lord would do something? Did you ever pray and say, Lord, show me something? Probably every Christian has done that. But God never will erase the need for faith. He'll never remove, never negate His word on faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He wants us to believe Him because He said it. That's what He told Thomas. If you do have problems with doubts, I have four things I want you to hear tonight. Four things. Number one, doubting does not change the facts. Nor does it change God's promise. Wilbur Chapman, have you heard his name before? Wilbur Chapman, born 100 years before me, 1959. He was born in 1859, died in 1918, was an American evangelist, Presbyterian. He was a revivalist, he was a pastor. He wrote the words to the hymns, One Day, Jesus, What a Friend of Sinners, or Our Great Savior, and Tis Jesus. Chapman told about once in his younger life, he attended one of D.L. Moody's evangelistic campaigns. And after the service, Moody came and sat down on the bench beside him, and he asked Chapman, he asked me if I was a Christian. And I said, Mr. Moody, I am not sure whether I'm a Christian or not. He very kindly took his Bible and opened it to John chapter 5, verse 24, which reads, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So I read it through, and he said, Do you believe it? I said, Yes. He said, Do you accept it? I said, Yes. Well, are you a Christian? Mr. Moody, I sometimes think I am, and sometimes I'm afraid I'm not. He very kindly said, Read it again. So I read it again. Then he said, Do you believe it? I said, Yes. Do you receive it? I said, Yes. He said, Well, then, are you a Christian? I just started to say over again that sometimes I was afraid I was not, but Moody got mad. He turned on me, his glare, his eyes flashing, and said, See here, whom are you doubting? Chapman said, Then I saw it for the first time, that when I was afraid I was not a Christian, I was doubting God's word. I was doubting God's word. There are Bible examples of individuals who doubted God's word. Do you remember Abraham when he was told he would have a child? Back in Genesis 17. You in Genesis 17:17. Look at him. This is a man who is known for his faith, right? Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? He fell on his face and he laughed. Chapter 18 and verse 12. 18:12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? So they both said the same thing about themselves and about each other. And both of them thought to themselves, no way. But in Genesis 21 and verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord said unto Sarah as he had spoken, or did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Now, the Lord's not giving us children at 100 years old. I don't think we need that or should expect that. But God's promises, the ones he's made to us in his word, are as good as that promise. All of those that we just talked about in the beginning, you named and I named to you, all of them are God's promises. And they're as good as the promise made to Abraham and to Sarah. Doubting God doesn't change the promise. It's still there. Consider the promises listed that we did in the introduction here. Your doubting's not going to make any of them go away. They're still there for you. My dad used to teach me that there were three things: fact, faith, and feeling. He said, my feelings may at times be injured. And I don't feel like it. I don't feel good about something. My faith is strong at times, and other times it's weak. Sometimes it's durable and enduring. Other times it runs out. But the facts never change. All of God's promises are facts. What God has unconditionally promised, he will unconditionally do. But some of God's promises, of course, are conditional. They're contingent upon always our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. The contingency is as sure as his promise. Don't expect to get what God promised unless you're willing to do what he asked, if it's a conditional thing. So in the case of conditional promises, you need to know, number two, doubting often delays or diverts the blessing, even if it's salvation. Doubting delays or diverts the promise, the blessing of the promise. There is a modern day illustration of that. A man named Carl Rogers. Have you heard his name before? Not in our circles so much. Humanist, psychologist, that type. He died in 1987. One of the founders of the humanistic psychology in the United States. Carl Rogers was born in Oak Park, Illinois. It's a suburb of Chicago, or Chicago, as Moody used to say. The fourth of six children. His father was a successful civil engineer, and his mother was a housewife and a devout Christian. His education started in the second grade because he had already learned to read before kindergarten. Pretty smart guy. He went on to the University of Wisconsin as an agriculture major. Later, he switched to religion to study for the ministry. And during this time, he was selected as one of 10 students to go to Beijing as a World Student Christian Federation conference was being held for 6 months. He tells us that his new experience so broadened his thinking that he began to kind of doubt some of his basic religious views. And after graduation, he married Helen Elliott against his parents' wishes. He moved to New York and began attending the Union Theological Seminary, a famous liberal religious institution. And while he was there, he took a student organized seminar called "When or Why Am I Entering the Ministry?" And he said that most of the participants in that sort of thought their way out of religious work. Real intellectual bunch got together. He thought his way out of religious work. Rogers switched to clinical psychology program in Columbia University, earned his PhD by 1931. God promised to save Carl Rogers if he would believe. But because of his doubts, because there was doubt introduced into his thinking about religious things, about Bible things, the cause of Christ was lost forever for Carl Rogers. The promises of God are good. He will save whoever will believe. But his promises are sometimes contingent upon our faith. We miss out on the blessings when we won't exercise our faith. There's a Bible example as well. It's found back in 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. Jehoram was the king of Israel. It was besieged, or he, I should say, was besieged in Samaria by Ben-Hadad, who was king of Syria. Do you remember the story? They'd been long under siege and they were hungry, very hungry. It was getting close to the end and they didn't know what they were going to do. And the man of God of that day was Elisha. And we'll pick up in verse 1, chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eye, but thou shalt not eat thereof." A quick judgment right there, wasn't it? And then you'll recall there were some lepers in Samaria. And they thought to themselves, we can stay here and die, or we could go to the Syrian camp. Maybe they'll have pity on us and they'll feed us and we'll live. So they went. Those four lepers went to the Syrian camp. When they got there, there were horses and donkeys and there were tents still set up. The fires were still smoldering. And they left everything. God had caused them to hear chariots and horses' hooves. So many, they thought Egypt and some others were hired together to come as mercenaries and fight for Samaria and deliver the king. So they went back and thought to themselves, we can't keep this a secret. And so they told the city, or the people in Samaria, they told them what they'd found. They thought, this has got to be a trap. Has to be a trap. Well, the king acted upon it. He sent some folks down to see if it was so. I want to start reading again in verse 18. "It came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, Two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, Now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eye, but shalt not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died." He was stampeded. Isn't that interesting? Though our doubts don't change the promise, they can certainly misdirect the blessing. We can miss the blessing. God's ability to perform what He's promised, it's there. But if it's a conditional promise, it's contingent upon our faith. And doubt can divert or delay the blessing of God in your life. Now, if you think really hard, you can probably think, if you're an adult here in the room, you can think of a time when you felt like the blessing of God may have been diverted because you weren't living like you should have been living. If two Christians both wanted to buy the same house, and one prayed and one doubted, who would get the house most likely? One prayed in faith, one doubted. Probably the one who prayed with faith. Why do I say that? Do I have any biblical basis for such a thing? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith makes a difference. Now, bad things happen to us Christians too, don't they? And the unsaved people are watching, and we say, well, praise the Lord anyhow. The Lord meant it for good. He'll work it out together. And they look at us and say, you people are stupid. Why? Everything that happens, whether it's good or bad, you just attribute it to God and go on with a big smile on your face. You people are fanatics. Well, they're right. They're right. We do just attribute everything to God. We know that He has things in control. And He works it all together for our good. We know that. And we don't need to be discouraged by those people. Yeah, we are sort of fanatical about our Lord, aren't we? And we're proud of it. We love the Lord Jesus Christ and we believe His promises. Two families are hungry and they're waiting for the Lord to provide their need. The believing family will probably eat first. And the doubting family last. You have a toothache. Will doubts help your tooth get better? Will faith? It could. It could. So why not believe that God could make this better and ask Him to? Because you have not, because you ask not. Do you see how doubts are? It's just really practical, isn't it? Do you believe God can? We don't know He'll heal our tooth. We don't know that, but He could. We could ask Him, Lord, I sure would love to get rid of this pain in my tooth. I know You can do it, Lord. An airplane blows an engine and it destroys one of the wings or damages one of the wings. It's plenty strong to get in. Will your doubt make the plane go down? Would faith make the wing stronger? You see, it could. It could, couldn't it? Doubts will only damage. Doubts will never accomplish anything, but faith will. You have not because you ask not. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need faith. Consider the promises that we mentioned earlier. Your doubting could delay or divert some of those. Keep you from the blessing that could be yours, could be your families, could be our churches, if we would have faith. I spent 3 or 4 years, the past 3 or 4 years, asking and talking and reading about how does faith work, really? Sometime I'll even bring a message on that because I'd love for you to hear what I have discovered that was a release to me and a blessing to me. And I'll share it with you sometime. But I want you to know, we can't know God is going to do anything that He didn't promise to do, but we can ask Him. And we can know that He can do it and that our faith might make the difference. It might make the difference. Number three, doubting makes waiting harder. Doubting makes waiting harder. Look at Luke chapter 1, if you would. Luke chapter 1. Doubting makes waiting harder. It's the story of Zacharias. Zacharias was father of John the Baptist. He was a Levite. And it was his turn to go into the holy place and burn incense. Says in verse 11, Luke 1:11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. The angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Skip down to verse 18. Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. How long does it take to have a baby? 9 months he couldn't speak. He couldn't say anything. Do you guess it was a miserable 9 months not to be able to? He couldn't even walk outside of the holy place there and talk to Elizabeth and say what had happened. I suspect he wrote things for her and grunted and so forth. He had a miserable 9 month wait. Why? Because he doubted. He doubted the Lord's promise. Doubting makes waiting harder. People are waiting to be financially secure, waiting to get to a certain point where they feel confident that things are in order. We have to trust the Lord for that, right? Only God can bring us to that place. Doubting just makes the wait harder. There may be faithful individuals who have worked and worked and worked just hand to mouth, just to make ends meet. And they're kind of behind. God will take care of them. He will. And if taking care of them means that they have to have X number of dollars in the bank and then they have this in order and that order, then He'll do that too, because He'll take care of them. Do you believe it? But doubting makes it miserable to get there, doesn't it? Miserable. How about romance? Do you remember when you were looking for the special someone that God would have you to be with? It's kind of hard to hold the kids back, you know, to say, you know, wait, it's not time yet. I had two boys. They didn't have arranged marriages, but I was a part in their... They wanted me to be a part in giving them counsel. They were concerned about what Dad said. I felt very privileged to have kids who felt that way. And I would say to them, listen, you're young yet. You don't need to know who you're marrying right now at 19 years old. You need a few more years. Be patient. But doubting and worrying about it just makes it miserable, doesn't it? Have you ever met a young person who was absolutely confident that God would, at the right time, God would bring that special someone into their life? Have you ever met anybody like that? They're such a pleasure to be around. And they enjoy company. A company of both sexes. They enjoy. They mingle well. But you meet a young person who thinks, oh, I just don't know if it's going to happen. And they're all worried about it. And they're miserable all the time. And relationships keep them from having fun in the midst of a party. A festival. Doubting God, who promised, will make the wait miserable. Have faith in God. He'll do what He said. If God wants you to be married, He'll show you who. He won't be late. He won't be late. It'll happen on time, and you won't even have to worry about it. Consider the promises that we listed in the beginning. Waiting for those. If we doubt while we wait, it just makes the wait miserable. Number four, doubting destroys joy and happiness. Maybe that's a lot like what I just said, but let me ask you to turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20 and verse 24. Doubting destroys joy. Doubting destroys joy and happiness. Don't be a doubting Thomas. John 20, 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. And he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nail, and put my finger into the print of the nail, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within the room, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed, the word blessed is happy. Happy are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are they who believe the Lord. Happy. You know that I like Pilgrim's Progress. I've read it several times over the years. Let me read you a little excerpt of Pilgrim's Progress when Pilgrim and his companion were locked up in Doubting Castle. Doubting Castle. On Saturday, about midnight, they began to pray and continued to pray till about the break of day. Now, a little before it was day, good Christian, as one half amazed, break out into a passionate speech. What a fool, quoth he. Am I to be in a dungeon when I may as well walk at liberty? I have a key in my bosom called promise that will, I am persuaded, open any lock in Doubting Castle. Promise to overcome doubts. That's the idea. Then said Hopeful, That's good news, good brother. Pluck it in, pluck it out of thy bosom and try. And Christian pulled it out of his bosom and began to try at the dungeon door, whose bolt, as he turned the key, gave back, and the door flew open with ease, and Christian and Hopeful both came out. Then he went to the outward door that leads into the castle yard, and with the key opened that door also. After that he went to the iron gate, for that must be opened too. But that lock went desperately hard, yet the key did open it. Then they thrust upon the gate to open, but the gate made such a creaking that it waked giant despair, who hastily, rising to pursue his prisoners, felt his limbs to fail, for his fits took him again, so that he could by no means go after them. Then they went on and came to the king's highway again, and so were safe, because they were out of his jurisdiction. They escaped their doubts. By what? Faith, believing the promises. Trusting in the promises of God will deliver us from our doubts. It's the opposite, right? You either doubt or you trust. You either exercise faith or you exercise doubt. Your doubts will make you miserable while God wants you to be happy. Till he comes. Till you get what you've asked for. Imagine a hostess. She's preparing for a great crowd of people in her home, and she's asked a professional caterer how much to fix, but she's so worried that she doesn't have enough food. So she's miserable until after the gathering. She's miserable. Takes away her happiness. Our doubts will steal away our joy and our happiness. Maybe you know the name G. Campbell Morgan. G. Campbell Morgan, he was already a preacher by the time he was about 19, quite experienced. But he had an attack of doubts. He was doubting the Bible. And the writings of various scientists and agnostics disturbed him. People like Charles Darwin and John Tyndall and Thomas Huxley and Herbert Spencer. As he read their books and listened to their debates, Morgan became more and more perplexed. What did he do? He canceled all of his preaching engagements. He put all the books in the cupboard. He locked the door. He went to the bookstore and bought himself a brand new Bible. And he said to himself, I'm no longer sure that this is what my father claimed it to be, the Word of God. But of this I am sure, if it be the Word of God, and if I come to it with all unprejudice and open mind, it will bring assurance to my soul of itself. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. You want to overcome doubts? You can do it the same way as Morgan did, G. Campbell Morgan. Get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. If our doubts are not handled correctly, we need to understand that doubting doesn't change the facts. The promises are still there. They're waiting for us. Doubting delays or diverts the blessing. It makes the wait harder. Steals away our happiness, our joy. Doubting. Those are just simple things, I know. But maybe you doubt sometimes. Maybe there are certain things that you doubt. Some issues are harder for you than others. I would encourage you, overcome your doubts by getting in the Word of God and let Him grow your faith. When you get in the Word of God, you learn more about God. You see how He is and what He does. You feel more comfortable with Him being in control than yourself. The Word of God will do that. It will help us to overcome our doubts and exercise our faith. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to share these simple thoughts tonight. I pray that You would bless them to our hearts and to our lives. And Lord, help us to exercise more faith. And Father, for those areas that we struggle with the most, I pray that we would have victory there. And Lord, our faith would grow as our knowledge of You grows from being in the Word. Thank You for what You'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.